Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing The Falcon and the Winter Soldier Episode 2, The Star-Spangled Man. With or without a plan, all that and more right after this ad we have no control over.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Jeff, buddy, how are you?
It's a stressful day, sir.
It is a very stressful day. And in our producer chair, we have J. Scotty St. Clair. How are you, man?
Doing well. Trying not to sweat it. You guys are handling this stressful situation with a lot of grace and dignity. You guys are star-spangled men yourself, so I'm happy to be here with you. Thanks for having me back.
Get your lips off my ass. I think I said that to you last episode, too.
Yep, I think you did.
I think that's going to be the thing, is you're gonna tell us how great we're doing, you pat us on the back, you guys are fine. Stop it! It's awful! It's all bad!
Yeah, so we're dealing with a lot of technical difficulties today. If you're watching this on video, you can probably see that I'm in a weird close-up, because I'm having to use my phone for this today, because I had two computers crash on me this morning, but we're moving forward. We're going to do this. So, let's get into this episode. Let's just get right into it. What did you guys think of the episode? What's your initial takes?
How so many parts of this episode where I was like, I was watching tearing up because like everything that was in front of me is just so beautiful. It's cinematic. It's grandiose. It's like, there's so much good going on in this episode, but then also there's so much just like, I want to punch his face again, bad. And now there's two faces that I want to punch.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's the one that's trying to be the best Captain America he can be, his words, not mine. And then there's his buddy that's just like, I'm Lamar. Or Hoskins. What was his last name? Hoskins. I'm Lamar Hoskins. And much like Falcon, I'm like, No. I didn't ask what your name is. I asked, who the fuck are you? Yeah. Like, what the hell are you doing here? And he's like, Battlestar. I was like, the hell is Battlestar? Pulled out my phone, Google real quick. And it tracks. He's from the comics. He's, he's the sidekick of John Walker when he was called the Super Patriot, I think is what his name was.
Yeah, sounds correct, yeah.
But he started as a kid on the streets. They called themselves the Buckies, but they were like urban commandos or some shit like that. Like he called himself Bucky. He took up the mantle of Bucky and then eventually changed his name to Battlestar. I'm okay with them starting with Battlestar, but I still just want to punch his face.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that feeling is going to continue through this entire series, the desire to punch faces. But I actually thought they made him a much more complex character this episode. Obviously more complex than last episode. Last episode, he was just a step forward and wink.
Right.
But like they did give him some things to do. And like gave us a glimpse into who he is. And the fact that he really does seem to want to do a good job and care. He's not, but he also seems prideful. Those last moments when he told the guys to stay out of his way, it's like, no, sir.
All that good faith that you built up, lost.
He did. He built up good faith throughout this episode, and I was like, okay, he's trying. And then, yeah, nope, that was rough. What do you think, Jay Scotty?
Yeah, just kind of piggybacking off of what you just said, it's kind of like what Sam said. He does so good until the last line. It's like, oh, you're building up so much goodwill, and you had to add that little dig at the end there. But as far as the episode as a whole goes, like I just continue to be impressed with these Disney series, you know, following the legacy of WandaVision. They take these characters that, you know, we spent time with in the movies, but we actually get to like get more context and nuance and actually get to spend this time with them. And these shows on the surface, they look like, you know, it's going to be a buddy comedy, but then within this episode, we get the full spectrum. We get comedy, we get really raw emotional moments, and then I continue to be very impressed with the action. We got two really, really good action sequences. So on top of that, the music continues to be stellar. So I'm real happy.
Sweet. Yeah, me too, man. Me too. Me too. All right. Well, Jay Scotty is going to recede into the feedback cave, and he is going to help us round up some live feedback for this episode. And me and Jeff are going to continue to break down this episode.
Let's all wave at Jay Scotty as he goes away. Bye, Jay Scotty.
Yeah. I'll have my mission report March 26, 2021.
Yes.
Speaking of Zemo, we got the man's face in this episode.
Yeah, we did.
Right at the end.
We got
there.
a little glimpse of Zemo.
I like that they put the chessboard in front of him and kind of made him a big deal. Nathaniel Muzzy in the Senior chat when we were watching the episode was like, I love that they're making him seem so much more scary and imposing and terrifying than he was in the movie Civil War.
Because
mm-hmm. he wasn't that, like, he didn't seem like that big a deal, I guess, in Civil War. But, But, like, you know, in Civil War, he was actually, like, he was the mastermind, you know, behind the whole thing.
Sure. Okay. Well, he's never been physically imposing, right. But he is definitely, you know, a threat. And I mean, especially, like, he knows how to trigger Bucky.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully not anymore, but, like, that's a threat. And, of course, his just, like, manipulation and behind-the-scenes maneuvering that, like, caused the Avengers to like,
implode,
be split, and really possibly cause the blip, if we really look at it that way. Like, he's sort of responsible, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Because, you know, Steve said we'll do that together too, and then he wasn't there because Zemo.
That's right.
It's all Zemo's fault. It's all Hydra's fault, really. It's all Bucky's fault.
Right.
It's all of their faults. Like they just need to share.
Yeah, share the responsibility. Oh, and we haven't even mentioned yet Isaiah Bradley showing up.
Oh,
which
my God.
We've been saying, like, are they going to go there? Are they going to tackle the Isaiah Bradley story? And it looks like they're, you know, they're still sort of, they haven't really gotten into the exact situation of it. But man, him being a super soldier and them discussing how America treated him differently because he was black. It's great to see them, like, going directly at that story and to see what does that mean for, Falcon taking up the mantle. And what does that mean for how it will affect his relationship to the Shield and everything? I'm very excited about the fact that they're going there.
Yeah, I remember when we were saying that Sam was saying the legacy of that Shield is complicated in the in the yard of that house in New Orleans from the look of it. We were thinking that he's going to be somehow related to Isaiah and, you know, not having known it or whatever. But the way that they did it in this episode was so much more impactful. And it was so much more just raw. You could see on Sam's face when he came to the realization of exactly who Isaiah was and what Isaiah was. And, you know, the fact that there's been a black super soldier around for decades, like he said, decades, and nobody told him. Like, this is somebody that Falcon could have looked up to. Yeah, not even Steve knew. Like, this is somebody that he could have looked up to as a child. He could have had a hero that looks like him, but he hasn't. True. He hasn't had that. He hasn't had, like, the kid on the street when they were walking up there. He was like, "Hey, you're Black Falcon," and he's like, "Why am I Black Falcon? It's just Falcon." And, like, there's that, you know, that subtle. Well, not so subtle, but
this episode was a lot less subtle. We talked a lot about on the last couple episodes, like, how direct are they going to go at that stuff, and it seems like they're going pretty direct. Just with the introduction of Isaiah, like, it, I've no doubt. For those of you, I guess, who don't know, Isaiah Bradley in the comics was the original super soldier who was experimented on. His, like, platoon was experimented on before Steve was given the serum. Now, I don't know if they'll go there. I wonder if this is, like, all we'll get, or if we'll get, like, a backstory. Also, it looked like his grandson was there, who's a big deal in the comics.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Elijah.
They didn't say his name in this, I don't believe. But I wonder if... I'm assuming that is Elijah, though.
Yeah. I think we're left to assume that that's Elijah. Just the fact that Isaiah is here is like hugely impactful to the thought that we are going to get Young Avengers. Like, right. We've been saying Young Avengers is coming. But now, I mean, Elijah Bradley, as some people out there may not know, Elijah Bradley is the grandson of Isaiah, got a blood transfusion because he needed one for whatever medical reason. He got a blood transfusion from Isaiah.
He's probably going to need one at the same time that She-Hulk needs one.
Right, right. Just yeah. Get them all done at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. So you get a bulk discount if you get all the superhero blood transfusions at the same time.
It's buy one, get one free, really. There's a coupon for blip returners. But no, he got a blood transfusion from his grandfather because he was the only match, and from that he gained some sort of, you know, super soldier-ish superpowers. Like, and then he becomes Patriot and starts to lead the team of Young Avengers. So, you know, we're looking at a handing the torch kind of. I think maybe this whole phase might be handing the torch to a new set of Avengers. You know, because we had so many before that were, you know, their contracts are up in a meta sense, but they're also, you know, they like Tony's dead, Cap's gone or retired or whatever. He's on the moon, like we said.
Well, it's like Falcon said at the beginning of the series, we need new heroes for this time.
Yeah.
And exactly. I'm excited to see if they're actually going there. I mean, like, how big of a deal is it? If that was actually Elijah Bradley and they're planning Young Avengers, like, how big of a deal is it that we just saw him for the first time, you know? I think we might get that character returning and giving us more exposition about the, you know, about the Isaiah Bradley storyline and everything. I can't imagine if that's Elijah Bradley, that's all we'll see him in this series, you know? He was such a small part of that scene.
Yeah. Yeah. The way that Sam reacted where, you know, he says Isaiah and then Isaiah's like, get out of my house. I think that they're going to revisit that. I think that Sam is going to go back and talk to him and try to have some sort of, you know, try to build some sort of relationship with him so that, you know, he can understand kind of what he's getting into. And like that scene, all of the Black Falcon stuff from the kid where, you know, he says, what are you, black kid? Like, hilarious, by the way, like the way that he got him. But all of that was the not subtle racist or the not subtle racism debate. But then earlier when he and, or no, sorry, later when he's talking to Bucky in the therapy scene, when Bucky's like, you know, why'd you give up the shield? You threw it away like it was nothing. And he says, this might be something that you and Steve will never understand, but can I trust you to believe that I thought that I was doing the right thing or I was doing what I thought was right? Like, it's not, it seems to me, my understanding of it, and I may be wrong, but it seems to me that Sam wants to build his own legacy. He wants to build a name for himself. He doesn't want it handed to him from Steve Rogers. He wants to be the Falcon. And that's why he balked at John Walker, saying, you know, it'd be real nice if I had Cap's wingman beside me. And it's like, I'm not Cap's wingman. I'm the Falcon. You know, like, I'm a hero in my own right. I'm not an extension of Cap. I'm not an extension of Steve. Like, that's what he wants is his own legacy built. And, like, I can respect the hell out of that, you know? Yeah.
That's interesting. I haven't gotten that, I guess, from the show yet. I feel like I haven't seen that in him in the show. I can definitely see that as a possible motivation for him, but I haven't seen that in him. I see, like, it seems more, like, when he describes why he's giving up the shield in the first episode, he says, you know, these symbols mean nothing without the people behind them, and, like, this is Steve's symbol, and it seemed more like he was trying to pass on the idea of trying to take Steve's legacy or take up Steve's legacy. I haven't seen that in him where he's like, I need to establish my own, but you may be right. I think that's,
I mean, it could be both.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, for sure. For sure. I guess I haven't heard him say anything that would lead me to that, but yeah, it's possible.
I feel like it's really subtle. Like, you know, the stuff in Baltimore was not quite so subtle, but I feel like the turmoil that Sam is feeling is a bit more, you know, it's a bit more of that subtle, working out things internally before bringing them out. And I say that because, or I say the things about legacy, because that was his whole focus in New Orleans was, his family. And
that's
saying,
true.
Like,
that's a good
this
point.
Is his parents' legacy. You know, I'm not going to let you throw that away. You know, all of that. Like, I feel like that's his motivation. Anyway.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. It's an interesting, we talked a little bit about it last week, but the idea that he, like, is trying so hard to hold on to the legacy of his parents and trying to pass on the legacy of Cap. And there's also, like you said, he says that line, do you trust that I thought I was doing the right thing? We've talked about the idea that, like, maybe there was some contingencies connected to him giving up the shield. Like, maybe if he hadn't given up the shield, they wouldn't have given pardons to all the people that needed pardons, you know? Maybe, like,
right.
Maybe it wasn't just him. Maybe he was doing the right thing, and maybe it's a secret, you know? Maybe he's still keeping a secret from Bucky. Maybe not. Maybe that's all just conjecture that it will be our new Mephisto, but, like, I still think there's the possibility that there's something that went on that we don't know yet. Something that, a line that echoed last episode to me that we hadn't really talked about in the sort of racial discussion of the bank scene, is when the banker says, I'm on your side. You're a hero. I mean, you're a hero.
Right.
And then in this episode, the police pull up on them and the police say, you know, they're getting into it. And he's like, oh, wait, do you know who this is? And they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know who you were.
Recognize you without the goggles.
And it was just like, okay. So I think that those two through lines is like, he is finding his value, or other people are finding his value in his, like, position as a hero.
Yeah.
And not as the man that he is.
Right.
And I think, like, they're definitely playing with something with his, like, legacy and identity. What that means for the world around him to interact with him,
yeah.
You know?
It's his celebrity status is being put up on this pedestal. That's the major thing that we're seeing. And it really, like, it sucks. That's, you know, that's how it happens in the world, too. Like, your celebrity status is what people care about. Whether or not you're just a guy in the world, like, meh, whatever. I think that Isaiah probably said it best, and this might get some controversy in our feedback, is that Isaiah said, you think you can just wake up and decide who you want to be one day? And he said, well, maybe people like you can do that. And I mean, it sucks that that's the way it is, but like, that is what Isaiah and Falcon have to deal with, is they can't, you know, choose to not be black and choose to be something else. Like, that's, they have to deal with it.
Right.
One of our 5-star reviews on iTunes, this past week, somebody who was thanking us for talking about the racial discussion and having the tough conversations. He said, to all the people out there who want Marvel to be an escapism thing, people of color don't get to escape. You know, this is the world that they deal with every day. They, you know, they're always treated differently. There's no escapism for them. And like, that really, that really hit, you know, that hit me like a ton of bricks.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And yeah, by the way, we hadn't really mentioned it, but we had a ton of feedback, and I guess save it for the feedback cast. We got a ton of feedback on last week, and we got a few negative things, but for the vast majority of you guys sent your support and saying like, yeah, have these conversations. Like, it's part of the show. We don't want you to, like, shy away from it. That wouldn't be appropriate. And so we appreciate you guys' support in that, because we don't plan to, regardless, but like, really, really made us made us feel cared for by the panda community. And even, honestly, even the people that reached out and disagreed with us on some things, most of the pandas were still like, but still, discuss what you need to discuss. We appreciate the conversation. And that meant a lot to me. Even the people who very much disagree with some things that were said last week, a lot of people still wrote in like, yeah, but still appreciate the conversation. And that's just, it's super cool.
Yeah.
I really appreciate this community a lot.
I think we were at a good turning point to actually talking about the story of the Flag Smashers.
Yeah, sure. I thought the Flag Smasher stuff was interesting. I still see them as like not really that bad. And this episode particularly, they really made them out to seem more heroic than even the previous episode, with like the guy dying for her and like the sort of like people, that they're sort of people's champions, yeah, in a way, yeah, you know?
Man, with that scene where they were kind of in that safe house or whatever, when the guy was like, one world, and uh-huh, they were like, one people, like, I kind of agree with that, you know? Like, they're supposed, yeah, to be this villainous organization, but
yeah,
I don't feel that. Like, I feel like this new Captain America, quote unquote, John Walker, is more the antagonist, and I think there's just a misunderstanding, or a you know, there's a Killmonger situation going on here, where they've got the right idea, but they may be doing the wrong things, I think.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, it's really interesting. It's like, I think what, if done artfully, this could be a story about the new Cap, John Walker, being like, America first. And then this other group being like, destroy all countries. And then like, our heroes finding themselves in between those two, yeah, things. You know what I mean? Like, the value of symbols and the value of legacy and the value of our country, and but also balancing that against like protecting all people and reaching out to people when needed and helping across, yeah, borders and things like that. Like, it could definitely be a, as you said, Killmonger situation where they're pushing in a certain direction, but maybe they go about it
yeah,
in the wrong way.
It reminds me of that phone conversation we had last night of the militant moderate. You know, our guys yes, find themselves directly in the middle. Like, I kind of agree with both sides, but maybe we could come together on a way to do this the right way, you know, so that we don't, you know,
yeah, yeah,
we don't go crazy either direction.
It's like, yeah, we're soldiers. We're American soldiers, both of us, you know, like them, not us. Sorry, no, yeah, stolen valor here. Right. The characters are like, we're both American soldiers. We see the value in America and the ideals of America, but like, also, I think John Walker is going to go too far. They mention at the end, they say, it doesn't make sense for us to work together because you have certain rules that, yeah, you need to abide by. But what I think is interesting is, I think once we get out there, it's going to be them and their morals and their rules that end up having them abide by different,
ooh, good call,
choices,
good call,
I guess.
Yeah, we have a different set of rules. Yeah. They're internal, not written down anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the rules of engagement that they're going to have to be concerned with. It's like their internal moral compasses that are not going to allow them to, you know, just go after these people so hard when they realize that these people are actually just trying to help people. Although the Flag Smashers did have a line, you know, they said something about tomorrow. After tomorrow, there's no turning back, which means, to me, it means they may be doing something fairly extreme in the,
yeah,
like, soon in the show. So,
yep,
what is the very extreme thing, you know?
Yeah, that's a good question. And we, like, it's still, regarding the Flag Smashers, we still don't know much about them. We know now that, or at least it's implied, that this leader, Carly Morgenthau, stole probably Super Soldier Serum from this power broker person.
Yes. So the power broker was mentioned. That's big.
Yeah, the power broker's men was what they said, but she got a text or a couple of texts that said, "You stole something from me. I'm going to find you and kill you." And that's when she was in the safe house. So I assume at least that she was part of a group, or she was the one who stole a super soldier serum and gave it to these people that she's with. And who, you know, this power broker is the guy that had it and now wants it back, or wants to kill her for taking it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know much about him. I think I said last week, like, I'm going to have to go read a bunch of comics. I haven't read a single comic this week. I'm bad at, like, following through on that.
Honestly, I think it's good that we're not, like, getting too buried in the books, because that's kind of what happened with WandaVision. We got real buried in, like, what's possible from comics, and didn't, like, really analyze what was going on screen as much.
Thing now. That's my new moniker, is the book man.
The book broker.
Yeah, I'm the book broker.
Okay, I say we turn to the chat and see what's been going on, see what other people are saying about this episode. Well, then, it is time for a word from our sponsor. And our sponsor this week is Ritual. Ritual's clean, vegan-friendly multivitamin is formulated with high-quality nutrients in bioavailable forms your body can actually use. I say this all the time, but I need things that are easier in my life. My ADHD brain does not do well with planning or remembering to restock things. That is why I love these companies that we work with. And Ritual is another great company that's making this thing easier. I have a bad habit of going out and buying a bottle of multivitamin, taking them, and then forgetting to ever buy another one. And this is wonderful, because you can go to their website, you tell them a little bit about yourself, and then it immediately starts shipping you this bottle of multivitamins every month. It's really, really wonderful. Really makes it really easy to stay on a regimen and get the vitamins that you want to have in your body. A multivitamin should contain key nutrients in forms your body can actually use to help fill gaps in the diet with no shady extras. Ritual's delayed-release capsule design delivers high-quality nutrients, including vitamin D3, in just 2 daily pills. Your multivitamins are delivered to your door every month with free shipping, always. You can start, snooze, or cancel your subscription anytime. And if you don't love Ritual within your first month, they'll refund your first order. So you got nothing to lose. Give them a try. They have this wonderful minty taste that you will absolutely love. And I know Jeff constantly talks about how he can't stop smelling the bottle, but he keeps it on his desk as a little pick-me-up. So, get key nutrients without the BS. Ritual is offering our listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/MCUcast to start your Ritual today. That's 10% off in your first 3 months at ritual.com/MCUcast.
Well, in order to turn to the chat, we got to get J. Scotty St. Clair.
J. Scotty St. Clair. What's up, buddy?
Oh, man. At ease, soldier.
I was trying to do my my most douchey wink there, but I don't know how it came across.
Oh, I get it.
It's been good. We've had some good discussion in the chat. Not surprising with the nature of the show. Just as I kind of mentioned, it the full spectrum. We got some thirst comments. We got some comments highlighting the humor. We got some comments that dove into the more ethical and civil rights, as well as the political sides of things. So, let me just go ahead and get into it here, unless you guys have any.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right off the bat, we've got RG Hose 112. They say, "Bro, my heart broke when Bucky said, if Steve is wrong about you, he's wrong about me."
Oh, God. That is such a crucial line for that mental state. Oh, my God.
It makes me really wonder how Steve said goodbye to Bucky. because we don't really ever get that moment. And I really wonder if we'll get it in this series, because like, I want to know what he said to Bucky. Because in a way, like, that line could be taken a few ways, because Steve also decided not to give the shield to Bucky, which, you know, was a possibility from comics.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, Steve clearly chose Sam for his legacy, but based on that line, it sounds like Steve believed in Bucky, which we know he did because he fought for him so hard in Civil War. Yep. He relied on him a lot in the end, in Infinity War and you know, in the final battle.
I would hearken it back to that scene in Civil War, especially when they're in, I always mess up the name of that city. Was it Bucharest?
That sounds right.
Yeah. And he's basically like, you know, having that recognition that, oh, you're Steve. And he's like, you don't want to hurt anybody. He's like, people always get hurt. And it's like, Steve immediately had that faith in him all along, even when he didn't have it in himself, when he was completely clueless. And I'm kind of curious about how much time they've actually got to spend together, because we know he spent the majority of his time in Wakanda. And even Sam highlighted, you know, the last time he stole the shield, he and Steve were on the run for 2 years. So how much time did they really get to spend together? You know, he's probably basing that entire thing off of what Steve did for him in Civil War, I would have to imagine.
Mm. Yeah, I think you're right. Unless there was some final scene that we never saw and a goodbye, that would be a beautiful way to end this series for Bucky, is like to finally get that flashback of like what Steve said goodbye, how Steve said goodbye to Bucky.
That would be cool.
What does the end of the line look like, you know?
Oh man, I'm with you to the end of the line would be so so sad.
Yeah.
Do you think Bucky knows where Cap is and like goes to visit him in the old folks home every now and again?
Or is if Cap he's still just around? Dead?
I would certainly
if he's still
hope
around
so.
It. And he'd have to. Yeah.
Yeah. Now he wrote him off. He's like, you're old now. Can't hang out with you.
The real question: does Sharon Carter visit him, and how awkward is it now?
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
Hey, Uncle Steve.
And then if Sam comes in, he's gonna be like, didn't you kiss him? She kissed him, right? Like, looks at Bucky. Bucky's like, Sam, don't make it weird.
I feel like we need that scene. I feel like we need that awkward scene now. That would be so wonderful.
That shield has a complicated legacy.
Oh, no. Scotty, no.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
No, don't take it there. It's weird
sorry.
Now.
I'm sorry.
You broke it.
So sorry. Man. Well,
interesting you bring that up. That line that's in the trailers, you know, the shield has a complicated legacy. That's said at like Sam's New Orleans home while he's practicing with the shield, but we have not seen that scene. So like, does that mean that was, I mean, you know, we know that Marvel likes to lie to us. So that scene could be totally fabricated, or is that a scene that's left to come?
I think that
does seem like it could be like the very end of the series, right? Or, but that would be weird if they showed the very end of the series in the trailer. Anyway. Just a weird thought I just realized.
No, I think he's going to be throwing the thing around, and that catch that he did where it seemed like the camera was coming in toward him and he catches the shield with two hands, like, oof, got, you know, almost hit in the chest with it. Mm. I think that's going to be the last shot of the series.
Oh,
and it's going to hit credits right there.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, Muzzy Nat said it in the chat. I hope they didn't show us the end of the show. I really hope so, too.
Yeah. Because
now that I think about it, like, that seems like that's the end of the show. Especially since it seems like the arc is John Walker has the Cap shield, and then he's got to decide whether to, like, unless they just steal it like they talked about, and then he has a little time with it in the middle of the season. But that is weird that we don't have it right now. What else we got in the chat, hey, Scotty?
So Mr. Matthew Fox, a.k.a. the Ethical Panda, he's chiming in with, he thinks that Stan and Kirby, referring to Stan Lee and Jack Kirby from the comics, would be so proud of this episode. The episode is in the best traditions of Marvel, using a great story and allegory to comment at real-world topics, race, trauma, and mental health, military, nationalism. This show is going to lead to so many good discussions. And it
Absolutely.
Already has. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also going to lead to a lot of positive and negative feedback on our show.
Hey. Speaking of discussions and conversations, I think they're doing over on Matthew Fox, who just sent that in, is doing looks like they might be doing an episode by episode watch of this because it is so tied in with these ethical issues. And so Superhero Ethics, if you guys want to check that out, they'll be doing, it looks like maybe weekly episode discussions on this show. That's very cool. I know they recorded one last night after they watched. So
it seems like the perfect show for it. So,
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot to talk about with this one. In regard to that, I find myself pulling back to like try not to get too in the weeds on it, because you know I'm not an academic ethicist. I'm not like extremely well versed in the world of politics. Shouldn't be political, but it is. So I'm kind of holding back and just like saying what bursts forth. But those guys are really going to get into the weeds on that. So, you know, if you have strong feelings in either direction and want to hear other people have strong feelings, like, go check them out.
Yeah.
Is any of Super our ethics. Feedback, Jay Scotty, involving the Global Repatriation Council, the GRC?
I didn't see any comments that mentioned that specifically, but I have my own theories that Power Broker is going to be tied into that. And Muzzy did have a good comment regarding Power Broker, if you want to get into that.
Hit me.
Sure.
So he said, Carly from the Flag Smasher shares a last name with Power Broker from the comics. I'm guessing she's his daughter and he's who texts her. And then he goes on to say, my theory is her dad created the Flag Smashers for New Cap to fight and to make nationalism appealing. And she broke off and stole the Super Soldier Serum. But that's all conjecture. But we know Muzzy's pretty versed in the comic source material, so...
Didn't Matt say, like, we're not going to turn to the comics for what could be?
No, I didn't say that.
He said specifically, we're never looking at comics again.
Yes, we're never talking about a comic book again on the show.
Okay.
I think that's what I said, yeah.
Yeah, I think those were your exact words. You heard it here, folks. Never talking about comics again.
Yeah.
Yep.
Jeff, I was going to say, was there something specific you wanted to say about the GRC?
I find it very interesting that, you know, that's not something that we heard talked about in Spidey or in WandaVision. Like, there is a council, a global council even, on getting people kind of resituated after the blip. Like, you know, we always kind of laughed at, like, people just kind of pop back in, but, like, if the world had moved on for 5 years, like, where would we be at that stage when half the people come back and, like, they're expecting to have homes, they're expecting to have jobs, they're expecting to have lives that just aren't there anymore? Like, that makes half the world a bunch of refugees, like they said. And, you know, to tie into the Power Broker discussion of him being part of the GRC, specifically, John Walker was saying that they're moving resources. You know, they're distributing resources, and radical revolutionaries is what he called
them.
Sounds right. But he said they don't work for anybody. Like, they're not good for anybody. And Sam says that's usually something that's said by the people with the resources. So it's a discussion of resources more than anything, and. The Power Broker is the one that's in control of the powers,
right?
You know, like, he decides who gets powers or whatever. So, like, that might be the resources that he's dealing with, or that the GRC is dealing with. But, like, I feel like John Walker is going to come into there's going to be a lot of contention coming into some sort of being a super soldier, you know, for him or for Battlestar or for hell for Torres. Like, there's all this precedent in comics for those guys to have some sort of power, and I think that Power Broker and the GRC are definitely going to be a big part of that, because it's a you know, it's a problem of resources, right.
I just love that they're going to tackle the real, like, effects on the regular civilians after the blip, you know, like, the all these people coming back, and the idea of the GRC, like, that, the entire idea of just, like, trying to rebuild the world and repatriate everyone and like put everything back like it was. That all seems very, very just interesting. Just like super cool to like actually get a show that gets to tackle that. Because when the movies happen, it's just like, oh, the, literally, you snap your fingers, they fix the world. Like, that's not how it would work. And this show is like letting us know that that's not how it works.
Mm.
Like, if it had been a few days, it would have been fine. Because we were sad for, you know, 3 weeks. But no, it's been 5 years. Like, there are people that have been trying to move on.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and I keep thinking of like crops. Like,
yeah.
After 5 years, you would reduce the number of crops you're making and stuff. Like, there wouldn't be as much corn and wheat because you'd have half the people in the world. And then, like,
yep.
Suddenly all the people are back. Like, how do you distribute enough food for everyone, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that is a part of the question that they're dealing with. I think that's the big thing that the GRC is going to be working for is, you know, making sure that the resources are properly distributed and, you know, that everybody gets something. It's kind of scary. Like, the thought of that, like, the world might go into more chaos at this point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If we want to change gears to Dollar General America, we don't have Katie Rose in the chat this time around to embrace that moniker, but we do have some comments regarding Mr. John Walker, some a little more pointed and some with a little more nuance, but R. Breeze Rob has a pretty good one. He says, I want to punch his face as well.
For some reason, I thought you said like he has a really nuanced one, which I guess he does, but for some reason, when you said he has a really good one, I was thinking he meant nuanced. Like, and then the first thing, I really want to punch his face. I'm like, well, is that as nuanced as we get? No, I'm just kidding. Go for it.
I want to punch his face as well. However, he is on a mission. He doesn't want anything to interfere. Mission comes first. That comment is what it is, but his attitude toward his new role is what is expected. And then Mr. Fox comes back with, what I like most about Walker is that he's not being written as a hero or villain. He's a person with a complicated set of motivations and perspectives, doing things that make sense for who he is. He may be an antagonist in the story, but he's being presented as a full person, not just a villain, which is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Flag Smashers seem the same way. So I love a show when you've got three distinct groups. You've got the Flag Smashers, the sort of government, and then you've got the heroes in the middle. And like Falcon and Winter Soldier are pretty much on different sides at this point. And they all have complicated motivations. They all seem like fully fleshed out characters. That's a really good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just to give a little credit to John Walker, hopefully I don't get too much flack for it, but I was actually pretty impressed to see how well he was able to handle that shield. Like, we saw the little snippets of Sam throwing it at getting stuck in the tree, but even in that scene where they kind of descended and had to help Bucky and Falcon there, Even Bucky had that look like, am I like side by side with Steve right now? So there's something to be said for the guy.
Yeah, and him throwing his shield to save his friend, like it all felt very Steve-ish. And like when he's like on the edge of the thing and he pulls himself up, like I was like, and just goes in at these super soldiers. I was like, he's brave, he's strong, he seems like really like he's trying to do a good thing here. But I have a feeling he's going to lack nuance and he's going to lack humility. Yeah. And those two things are going to be his downfall.
It seems like in the moment, like in the fight, he is very much just the same as Cap as Steve was. When it comes down to it, like, he's going to do the right thing. He's going to save as many people as he can. He's going to save his friends. He's, you know, he's trying to fight the good fight. But then when it comes to like being outside of the fight and talking to anybody, he's just such a prick. Like, I hate him so much when he speaks. But like in that moment when he was throwing the shield around and trying to help, like, yeah, he seemed like a hero.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when they got into the more personal moments with him, where he was, you know, not trying to put on the facade of Captain America. When he was just having a discussion of like this is a lot. There's so much on me right now. There, like, everyone expects something of me.
Right.
Like, I can see, you know, that actual, that person there, you know, like there's a lot of real human in there. And he's just, I get it. He's just trying to be the best that he can be, but he just sucks. Like, you know, you pick the wrong guy.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is, like, they built up so much goodwill with him. Like, it's that first scene. I was like, oh, they're doing it.
Yep.
Because I joked in the Stranded Panda chat on Facebook this week. Link in the description, everybody. I joked that what I want to see is them, like, take this character who we all hate immediately, and by the end of the series, make us love him. Maybe we won't want him to be Cap still, but we'll love him. And as soon as this episode started, I was like, oh, they're going to do it. Like, they're already humanizing him in such a big way. And then the end of the episode, I was like, Falco is right. That he always got us have that one last line that, like, ruins everything, you know? Last episode, it was a wink. This episode, it's like, stay out of my way. He just turned into such a bully.
Yeah.
He's such, like, a schoolyard bully when he's like, just get out of my way, kid. Yeah. Like, don't talk to Falcon that way.
Right.
Don't talk to Bucky that way.
Who the hell are you coming in there like that? Like,
right?
We've been with these guys for years, like a decade now, and you just showed up now. You don't get to talk like that.
Well, after gussing him up a little bit, I wouldn't be doing my job as producer if I didn't knock him down a peg as well. As well as incorporating some of our fantastic thirst comments here. So, Melissa, she's got a great comment here. I'm drier than I've ever been since fake ass Cap took up half the episode.
That's so funny.
And then, Haley Hobbs did mention one of the actual good thirst moments we got when Bucky did the sleeve tear just before jumping out of the plane. That was pretty sweet.
That was hot.
That was real sweet.
I love that when he jumps out of the plane, he's just like, ah! Like,
oh gosh, that jump out of the plane scene was amazing. He's like, I'll be fine. And he just like jumps out and that's like a real Hulk move, like. Just jump and crash land, like not caring about your person at all.
Like, he was fine. It was fine. But it was also like he hit the ground and was just like, oh, that sucked. it was so good. And like he used his arm to like try to crash through the trees a little bit. And you know, he landed. And I was hoping, I guess, I was thinking he might, you know, do some sort of like hero landing. And be, you know, super like Winter Soldier landing, but nah.
Right. Like grab the trees and use them to slow his fall and stuff. Nope. I think he thought that too. That's the thing. He jumps out like, I got this.
I don't think he thought that at all. I thought that he was like, this is going to suck a lot.
Yep.
I got to imagine Sam has it set up to where Red Wing's footage automatically gets uploaded to the cloud, because it'd be a real shame if we never get to see that footage after Red Wing got taken out.
You know? Did he go back and get the hard drive? Like, we really need that.
Oh, the government's probably got it.
Yeah. They said they were tracking him through Red Wing. So I think Red Wing's got cell signal, satellite, something.
Turns out Red Wing's been the spy all along.
Red herring.
We thought... We thought someone on his team would betray him. Turns out it's Red Wing.
Red Wing has been Mephisto the whole time. There it is.
All right. Any other comments in the chat?
While we're talking about Bucky being in the field, Melissa brought back up again that she and Haley were discussing about, does it feel odd that Bucky is back in the fight? It seems like part of his pardon mentioned last episode that it should include not going on missions or being in combat. Which, you know, got kind of brought up at the very end of the episode, too, with the therapist. What was rule number two? Don't hurt people. And we know he's going to see Zemo if he wants to hurt somebody. Probably that guy.
Also, it seems like it would be better for him not to get into the fight. But Cap, the new Cap, says, like, yeah, he's too valuable an asset to leave on the sidelines. Like, we need him in the fight. And, like, basically uses his power as Captain America to clear him of his responsibilities to his own self-care. So like, that's like not a great thing.
Yeah. You know, I have a thought on that, honestly. Like in the moment, I was I felt like Bucky went along with Sam. Like he said, "I'm coming with you." "No, you're not." And he was still there anyway. I feel like that's him. Like he seemed a lot more excited about doing something, you know, like than we saw in the last episode. I think he feels like he now has purpose, or because in the discussion with the doctor in the last episode, the doc said, you know, "You're free." And he says, "To do what?" It's like because he doesn't have a mission, he doesn't have a purpose, and he's just kind of wasting away. But now, you know, since these Flag Smashers are out there and Sam's work to do, he's like, "Well, shit, I now have a mission. I'm deciding I'm going to do that. Like, I'm going to help. I have, you know," and he seemed like he was more chipper and upbeat, even if he was kind of kind of grumpy about Sam, because, you know, they pick at each other.
Hmm.
Melissa is providing some additional feedback in real time. She's mentioning the fact that the therapist did say that he's a civilian now. So,
yeah,
it's almost even more of like the good cop or the buddy cop relationship. The fact that, you know, Sam's still trying to work within the system to some regard. Are they going to flip flop by the end of the series?
Maybe.
Yeah. It really also all brings up the questions of like the Sokovia Accords and who are they? And like she said, he's a civilian, but I guess Falcon is some sort of contractor. So is he like an Avenger? Is he working as an Avenger in all this like sort of third party, not really with the government sort of situation, or is he something else? I don't know. It's interesting. I'd like a breakdown, like the legal situation, because apparently he's enough outside of the system that he can do things that John Walker can't do, but he's still in the system in that the Sokovia Accords still exist.
Right.
So I don't know what all that means.
We should get a good breakdown on the She-Hulk series.
There we go.
Yeah, right. That'd be so good if that whole series is just like super, super like Marvel in universe legalese just about the Sokovia Accords.
Just everything we've seen so far in retrospect from a legal standpoint.
Yeah, I love it. I'd love that. Yeah. And that actually, like, that makes a lot of sense. We've talked a lot about one of the major problems with the Sokovia Accords is that they require sort of like approval from a government body before they act. Maybe that's what She-Hulk is about, is the like, it's the show where they deal with things after the fact. They deal with things after they've happened. They like punish or reward people based on their actions in the field. I don't know.
Yeah. That'd be cool. I mean, there was a damage control series in the works at one point in time, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
That was going to be a comedy series from what I remember.
That's yeah. Right. Yeah.
And then DC did a similar one.
Yes.
With I actually liked it. I thought it was pretty good.
Was that Powerless?
Yeah, okay. Powerless. Okay. That was pretty good. But it never really found its footing.
Well, you know, it was in the wrong universe to be to be
fair.
Good.
That's fair.
I'm not saying anything.
speaking of that universe, though, speaking of that universe, we do have, we covered the Snyder Cut. I meant to mention this at the top or something. We talked about the Snyder Cut on Binger's Assemble this week. So me, Jay Scotty, and Ashley, so two of our wonderful producers and myself from here at the MCU Cast, talked about the Snyder Cut over on Binger's Assemble this week. So please go check that out, and please subscribe to Binger's Assemble. That show was built on the idea that we would have movies, and we finally have movies again.
Yeah.
So like,
it's
like
happening.
We spent 4 months. I know, right? We spent 4 months building that show, and then as soon as we got it built and like did a like 13 episode run of X-Men movies, all movies were shut down due to COVID. And so now it's like a year later, we're finally getting movies again. So it's exciting. We're covering the Snyder Cut, and then we're also going to cover the Kong versus Godzilla. Me and Nathaniel Muzzy are covering Kong versus Godzilla, which I'm very excited about. Actually, it's that series has been better than I realized it would be.
Yeah, I've been really enjoying your guys' coverage of that.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. And it was a hell of a lot of fun to hop on Bingers and discuss the Snyder Cut with you. Like,
all right. We're veering off the rails, getting into DC territory. We should wrap this up.
Yeah. Let me collect the last few comments here. I can kind of pool them all together because they are all kind of like relating and hoping for, you know, some comics deep cuts. So El Dimshar, they're hoping for D-Man to pop up. And I wasn't familiar with D-Man just based on D-Man. So looking it up, D-Man is Demolition Man. So that would be certainly interesting and kind of ties into some other hopes and expectations here. Dr. Kyle Berkeley says that he's thinking the Flag Smashers are either the Wrecking Crew or the Serpent Society, which would be pretty cool. I mean, we got that Serpent Society tease all the way back in 2014 with the, you know, the slate that was revealed at that point in time.
El Capitan Theater.
Correct.
Announcement. Yeah.
I think that was a little bit of a misdirect, though. They were like, oh, yeah, Serpent Society. No, it's actually Civil War.
Yeah, for sure it was, but that's that would be cool if they actually did bring it in at this point.
Mm-hmm. And then last one here, Ellie Kyar 87 says, it was said that three properties will come from this series. I think two of them will be Young Avengers and Masters of Evil. So, and Zemo was the last thing we really saw.
I think Masters of Evil will be a property, though. Will it be its own property? A la, like, Suicide Squad or whatever.
I think that it's going to be more Thunderbolts. Like, it might be, like, it, you know, we'll know that it's Masters of Evil, but it's actually Thunderbolts. Like, on the front, the facade is Thunderbolts, and they're like, oh, yeah, government team. No, Masters of Evil, Dark Avengers, give me Dark Avengers.
Right. Well, there's that. There's also, as she mentioned, Young Avengers, Armor Wars, I think, will spin off of this series. Who ends up coming out of this series with their own thing? I think Zemo is a good call. I think Armor Wars with Rhodey and possibly Falcon and in there. Winter Soldier could end up with his own thing. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of good.
We need that
going
Winter
on.
Soldier series.
Yeah.
What was it somebody said last night?
The burn notice.
On the chat.
Burn notice, my name is Earl.
Yes.
Thing.
Yes. Burn notice meets my name is Earl. Oh gosh, who said that last night? Was it Brian Keegan and maybe Muzzy?
Brian Keegan sounds right. I do believe that's correct. Yeah.
That's a clever guy right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And someone else, and that's not coming to me right now. But we need a Winter Soldier show that is Burn Notice meets My Name is Earl, where he's like checking things off his list. Oh, it was Paul Hoppe who did he did the whole intro. That's what it was. Yeah. Paul Hoppe rewrote the My Name is Earl intro, but it included details from the Winter Soldier's life.
Nice.
Really, really funny. Okay. Well, that sounds like we're about wrapped up, guys. Jay Scotty, thank you for being here.
Pleasure.
Tell the people about your new podcast that should have a feed very soon. It's not up yet.
Yes, it's called Animation Deliberation, and it's an action, animation, and cartoon-focused podcast. So we're going to be covering, you know, all the long-standing series that, bring some of our favorite characters to life in some of the best ways. So we're starting off with Young Justice. I'm sure we'll be covering Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Amazon just dropped Invincible, so we're excited to get into that as well. So if, animation is your thing and you dig these comic book characters, definitely join us there. And please let us know what series you're interested in, because there's so many out there. I'm excited to get the opportunity to dive into so many of them. Please join us.
Yeah. I'm pumped for that show to be on the network. And like, animation is definitely a big blind spot for the network up until now. So it's going to be cool. Cool. All right. Well, that it will be all for us. We'll be back soon. Please check out the Bingers Assemble feed for lots of fun stuff. And we have trivia in Marvel Cinematic Universe trivia every Wednesday night. We start the feed at 7 o'clock on twitch.tv/strandedpandaTV. And we go until and we start the actual trivia around 7:30. And like, all you need to do is sign up for a Twitch account and you play right in the chat. It's a lot of fun. And we give away prizes and stuff. We're giving away two Oculus Quests this season. So if you get a chance, come hang for that. All right. Peace.
Later.
Until next time, true believers.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.